Okay. Well, thank you for welcoming me back here, those of you who know me. 10 years ago, I retired from here. I've been back from time to time ever since and enjoyed every single moment that I've been here, which has been absolutely wonderful. My wife Judy couldn't come this morning, was totally intending to come, but she's got a tummy upset, and she's as cranky as all get out about that, I need to say, because there's even a special sale on over at Spotlight. So the sickness is genuine, trust me, or she'd be here. And my daughter Susan came down with me to keep me company, so thanks Sue for doing that. Well, right from the get-go, I need to say that I wasn't sure that I'd be talking on this topic this morning until 2 days ago. I now know that I have to, and I need to explain to you why. So it goes a few weeks back when a similar message was shared by the regional Lutheran bishop at the induction of the new Lutheran pastor in Gympie, where we live. At that service, I got a clear leading that I should use a similar message somewhere one day, but I didn't know specifically when or where. I did some preparatory research on the web anyway, as you do, and found a lot of helpful points, some of which I'm using today. And then I filed the topic away in the back of my brain for the time being. Then a few days ago came the time to pray and prepare and focus for today. What will I preach on? And of course, there's always the readings of the day, and that was what I was probably going to do. But then, suddenly, a couple of days ago, I was given what I have learned to come to call holy hints. H-O-L-Y-H-I-N-T-S. And it happened like this. Out of the blue, people on Facebook began to make references to David and Goliath. You've heard of those two guys, haven't you? Even the secular world keeps quoting things like that. Now, some of the things on Facebook were jokes. There were some serious comments. There was a cartoon. And all this by people with whom I'm friends on said social media. Someone else responded that they needed to be reminded that the David inside you is bigger than the Goliath in front of you, or words to that effect, and I rather like that. Now, as you might already know, I can be a very slow learner. But I got the message, and so here I go. And someone here must need to hear it, even if it's only me. Now, I think we're all passably familiar with the story of David and Goliath. You'll find it in 1 Samuel 17, 16 too it starts, but 1 Samuel 17 has got the real gist of it, and it's quite a long narrative with a lot of detail, so I don't want to read it again now. But I encourage you to go home and reread the fascinating account, because I know over the years you've heard the story, you've heard the reading or snippets of it, but when you sit down and you read it right through in the narrative, boy oh boy, there's bits that you thought you've never heard before and little aspects that come out and hit you in the face. So that's what I encourage you to do, because they hit me in the face. Firstly, though, a little bit of background. David was just a lad, physically small, bright-eyed and handsome, we're told, and he was the youngest of Jesse's sons. He was an excellent musician on the harp, and he used to play music for King Saul when King Saul was in one of his bad moods. Now, Samuel had anointed David at Bethlehem on the Lord's instructions, anointed him to be king in place of Saul. And at that very moment of the anointing, the scripture says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power and stayed with him. And the scripture goes straight away to say, and at that same moment the Spirit of God left Saul, and a dark mood settled on him instead, and, quote, he was terrified. Now, quick look at Goliath. 10 feet tall. Yeah, up to the top of the screen there, do you reckon? At least? higher, 300 centimetres. His armour weighed 60 kilos. He had a spear that was like a fence rail, and the tip of the spear weighed 7 kilos. And then he had a shield bearer who carried the shield walking in front of him. To put it in plain language, Goliath was a giant, huge man. The kind of guy that we'd like to know about on the State of Origin candidates list. Now I want you to picture, if you will, two armies facing off against each other, the Israelites and the Philistines. All battle ready, but not yet engaged, and there was a big reason for that. Now you lovely, beautiful people here, you can be the Israelites. So sit there and smile and bask in the glory. And you people over there, sorry, have to be the Philistines, okay? Good luck to you. Goliath, this big, big Philistine, was a cranky old sod. He was quite cranky. And he would come out every day and taunt the Israelites, "Find somebody to come and fight me." But the terrified Israelites fell back, and the situation was very grim and getting worse. So we pick up the story where David, who had been going backwards and forwards between King Saul, plucky, 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 and back to the sheep with Dad to look after the sheep. And on this particular occasion, his son Dad sent him, Jesse, sent him to the front line with provisions for his older brothers who were in Saul's army. Now David saw the situation, he saw Goliath, he saw the fear in the Israelites' eyes, and he made an offer to take Goliath on. One on one, he made a commitment. Rejecting the offer of Saul's own armour, because it was too heavy and bulky, he took simply his shepherd's staff and 5 smooth stones from the creek and his trusty slingshot. Now Goliath, of course, couldn't believe it when little David comes out, and he really got stuck into him, threatening to make him, and I'm quoting from the Message translation, roadkill for the buzzards and the beasts of the field. So that's telling him. David wasn't backwards in coming forward either, and he said, "You come at me with sword and spear and battle axe, and I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel. He'll hand you over to me, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head." Nice gory stuff, isn't it? Now, understandably enraged, Goliath came at David. So what did David do? Well, Scripture says he actually ran headlong towards Goliath. He took one single solitary stone from his pouch, slung it, and he hit Goliath fair in the middle of his forehead, embedding the stone deeply, and Goliath fell down dead just like that. Now, the gruesome aftermath after that you can read for yourselves at home. But suffice it to say that David was true to his word, and the Israelites routed the Philistines and overcame them, big time. What interests me is these stones, 5 stones. What interests me even more is that David only used and needed 1. Now I'm going to suggest that for the purpose of the exercise, that we might liken those 5 stones to 5 attributes that David displayed and possessed. And there's a lot there for us too, you and I here today. So let's look at the first stone. I want to liken that to commitment. David was committed, boots and all, from the beginning. He did not hesitate to help his father, his brothers, or the army. Once he knew the situation and heard Goliath's taunts, he was committed to doing what he could to defend his people in the name of the Lord. Second stone, let's see that as courage. Do you reckon David was lacking in courage? I don't reckon he was. In fact, one of his elder brothers thought he was being a little bit too cocky and got stuck into him. And in the Message translation, I think it says, David, when his brother got stuck into David, David said, "Aren't I even allowed to speak now?" or something to that effect. I really do like reading the Message translation sometimes. It brings out these subtle and humorous little bits and pieces. Now, he wasn't lacking in courage. But don't forget, courage is not the absence of fear so much. It's the ability to act despite fear. The third stone, let's see that as being communication. David did not just fight with stones. He used words too. He called out the lies and insults of Goliath and confronted them with the truth. He fought not only in the strength of the Lord, but in the name of the Lord. Got it? The name of the Lord. And the fourth stone, let's see that as being capability. Okay, yes, he was young, he was small, and he was inexperienced as a soldier. But he did have some pretty mean skills. After all, he told Saul that he'd fought off both lions and bears with only a club and his bare hands. And instead of focusing, therefore, on what he lacked, David highlighted what he could bring to the fight. And the fifth and final stone, confidence. Boy, oh boy, courageous young man, confident young man, was this David. But in whom did he place his confidence? Well, not himself. His ability to communicate, or even his capabilities as a fighter with bears and lions, his confidence was in the Lord. The God of angel armies, the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel. This is how it comes out in Scripture. He knew the battle was ultimately the Lord's, and victory would only come by his hand. So back to the question then, why did he only use and need one stone? I put it to you that whilst he might have had the others in his pouch on his hip, he carried them in his heart and foremost in his mind. So all of the time, these attitudes of commitment and courage and communication, capability and confidence were there. So what does that mean for you and me? Well, how might those five attributes apply to us when we're facing our own Goliath-sized challenges? Now, as I look around at you lovely people, I know for a fact that in your lives you would have no Goliath-sized challenges at all, would you? No. Well, I have. So let's look at those four, five things again as they relate to us. Firstly, commitment. I put it to you that defeating our, yours and mine, giant issues must first begin with a determined dedication to do something. Not to sit there and say, "Oh, woe is me," but to get up and do something. Not to talk about it, not to whinge and whine about it, but actually be faithful in taking action about it. An action does not always include a physical or verbal confrontation, but it does mean facing the problem directly. How might we apply courage? Well, remember, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the ability to act despite the fear. Be willing to step out bravely and confront the giant in your life. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. Thirdly, communication. David fought not only in the strength of the Lord, but in the name of the Lord. One of the best ways that we might defeat an enemy is to communicate God's truth. And firstly, we need to communicate it to somebody special. Who do you reckon that might be? Don't you think you need to communicate it to yourself? To remind yourself that's God is on your side, to remind yourself that he's the leader of your army, and then after you've told yourself, then tell your enemy, tell your giant, face your giant with those same words, whatever form your giant may take. And fourthly, how might you use compatibility? Well, remember that instead of focusing on what he lacked, David highlighted what he could bring to the fight. Now, your giant might be bigger and stronger and smarter than you are. So what? You're capable too. Ask God to show you what you have instead of worrying about what you don't have. And finally, confidence. If you're relying on your own strength and strategy or skills to defeat the giants in your life, you will be fearful, you will be anxious, you will be unsure about it all. The answer is to place your confidence in God, who will fight the giants for you. That's what happened with David. Fancy one stone, one slingshot, dead center, literally dead center. How about that? Was he lucky? Was he a good shot? Well, maybe he was a good shot, but it was more than luck that that happened. The Lord was with him. From that day that he had oil poured over him, the Lord was with him. Remember, it said it stayed with him from the scriptures. So, don't rely on your own stuff. The answer is to place your confidence in God, who will fight the giants for you. So, my friends, I don't know what giants could or are intimidating or threatening you in your life, in your work, in your relationships, whatever, right now. But I know that I've been acutely aware of some of the ones that I have faced in the last year or so. We all need to picture ourselves as having these five smooth, God-given stones or attributes of commitment and courage and communication and capability and confidence to go out and face them in the coming days and weeks and beyond. David's battle began with commitment. And then with God's help, it only took one stone to bring down the mighty Goliath. So I ask you to remember and to focus on the fact that the David in you and me is always bigger than the Goliath outside you. Amen? Amen.